Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, this fellowship, Father, just loving on you, Lord God, always lifting up our sin before you and asking forgiveness for it, Lord God, that we will be right and clean to receive your word and God, the word of God. And in Jesus' name, Father, we ask that you bless us, Lord God, with more of you, Lord God. create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, Lord God, and give us the fortitude, Lord God, to set aside a secret place where we can meet with you. In Jesus' precious name, we love you and we thank you, Father. I ask that as I decrease, you would increase in me to teach your people your word. And all those that agree said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We are in Matthew in our Bible study, chapter 3. And we're still getting rid of the historical text. This is information that you need to go forward in Matthew's and setting the stone in Zion, so to speak, the understanding of the word as to how these things came about. And now you're seeing these things unfold from the Old Testament into the New Testament. And so Matthew chapter 3:1 says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And so I'm going to use this to show you a very important principle. The reason why I know this Bible is of God, because I don't need the beautiful words of the Psalms. I don't need the wisdom of Proverbs. I don't need the historical text of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to show you Jesus. I can show you Jesus in the Old Testament. He was there in every court of glory. He was there in Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He was there in every court of glory. So when I get the opportunity to point out the fulfillment of what was spoken in the Old Testament, because this whole book is about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It does not reference him by name and everything, but it's all about Jesus and the steps God took to bring man to a place where he could die for them so that they would be saved by grace. And so it's all about Jesus. So if we go to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, you will see Isaiah as it says in the scripture. Isaiah 43 says, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all godliness thereof is as the flower of the field. So he is simply showing us how the proclamation of John the Baptist was spoken way back in the days of Isaiah, and how he was coming to pray, and he put certain points there that you can't miss. He's coming to prepare you the way of the Lord, made straight in the desert, not in the cities, not in Jerusalem. He made his way straight in the desert places, in the dry places. That was significant, so that there is nothing that was done and from a place of moisture. Everything was done through Jesus from a place of dry, where men had not seen and men had not known, so that nothing can be compared to any type of peace from this earth or any type of comfort from this earth. Everything was prepared by the Lord himself, and it was rugged, it was hard, it was rough, because it goes on to say that he shall make the crooked straight and the rough places plain. So he went to the place of hardship to bring about a grace that would bring all men through love into God's glory. And so It is from the desert that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. It is from all flesh, and we all should see it together. From the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. From the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So you see here that Isaiah prophesied years before there was a John the Baptist, that this man would be in the wilderness crying. And you see the fulfillment of that. You see the recompense of that, the actual fulfilling of the scripture where it says, in those days, John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. And we go on and it says, and the same John had his raiment of camel hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey, and went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So what did John the Baptist do to make the crooked straight? See, where people are thinking about crooked roads, no, he made the Lord's road straight by dealing with crooked people. What did he do? He made them confess their sins. And that is the one thing that the church no longer likes to do. We don't like to confess our sins. But if you're going to be a blood-bought child of God believer, you're going to have to get used to putting yourself in the place of embarrassment and confess your sins. You're going to have to do that, because that is what makes the crooked straight. And this was prophesied way back there in Isaiah. See, if you can confess your sins and acknowledge that it was wrong, then you are on the road to godly sorrow. And godly sorrow, the Bible says, brings about repentance. And so in 7 it says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? So he threw at them the very conversation of God. God needed to plant a righteous man. And Jesus said there was none more righteous than John. He needed to put him in the place where he was the one that was bringing the righteousness of God by being in the desert, making the crooked straight. So everybody else who was the religious sect of that time were not doing the job. And this only happened because they had left God. They had been left God. They worshiped more of the temple, and they worshiped more of the things of God and the church of God than they ever did God himself. And so that changed generation after generation. And if you notice, we are back in that time again. We have these nice cathedrals and these nice buildings that is set up, and with these nice places that are set up before God, and we worship the man that built them. We don't worship the God of the man that the church is supposed to represent. We don't even do the things of God. We don't have confessionals. We don't even know the testimonies of God. We don't know the righteousness of God. We don't do the things of God in the church that we ought to. It's all about church protocol. Mm-hmm. When they have a new members class, they don't bring you in and tell you as a new member, a Talmudin, a disciple of Christ. They tell you the protocol of the church. But the church can't save you. Your salvation belongs to Christ. It is in Christ alone that salvation exists. So it does not matter what church you go to. It does not matter where you've been. If you have not placed your faith in the risen Christ for salvation, then you will not be going to heaven. You will not receive what you need to receive. I'm telling you, because it is only in Christ, through God the Father, that these things is found. It is not through anything else. You cannot receive grace. You cannot receive the covering and the remission of your sins from anybody else. There's only one person who shed his blood on Calvary's cross, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you must go to him to come to the Father, as Scripture says, as Scripture teaches. So when they said that to him, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were the religious of that day, came to him, came to his baptism. And he said unto them, and he called them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who hath warned you to flee from that wrath to come? In other words, how did you know to come to this? You're a generation of vipers. You are the very issue that God is trying to set up standard against. So who said to you, what happened that got you here to the place where you could even be baptized? See, he dealt directly with them because that was his job. He was to make the crooked straight. If you came to the desert, John the Baptist was there waiting. And it is amazing that when we come to the lowest point of our life, God is waiting there with the acknowledgement that you need to repent from your sin. God is still going to dry places. He's still going to places where there is no moisture, where the summer is turned into drought in our lives. And he's reaching for us and telling us, come, let me deal with this. But I'm going to call you the way you are so that when you come, you'll come with a humble and contrite spirit. See? And so this is what John did. He called them. These are the people who were supposed to have God. He called them vipers. And he said, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bringing forth thus fruits meet for repentance. So they came to him, bringing forth such humbleness, such fruit meet for repentance. And think not to say, I'm in nine, within yourselves, we have Abraham, our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So don't think by proclaiming the temple and proclaiming the things of God and proclaiming that you are the pastor of this or your parents have been in church for such a long time or your lineage is going to save you. It is not. This is a whole new creation, a whole new creation of man. And so in 10 it says, and now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. I need baptize you with the water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And a lot of people in Christendom done pull together the fire that you feel when you're dealing in the Holy Ghost as the fire. But no, he says he shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire. Two separate things. You're not just, there are three baptisms. There's the baptism of water, there's the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and there's the baptism of fire. And all three we must be baptized in. But two of them is evident. Two of them, you have no choice because your salvation depends on it. Baptizing with water, because that is the commandment of the Lord, and baptism of fire. So what is this fire that everybody is tripping on? Let's turn to Malachi chapter 3. The book right before Matthew is Malachi, and I'm just in the third chapter of that. Say amen when you have it. Chapter 3. Amen. It says, chapter 3, 1, it says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. And so let me explain this. Behold, God is speaking in prophetic terms again, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. So this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking before he came. And he's saying, I will send my messenger. That messenger is John. And John is preparing the way before him. And the Lord whom you seek, the one that you're seeking, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall suddenly come into his temple. Now, a lot of people take that as the temple of Jerusalem, Solomon's temple. That is not the temple. Christ now dwells in temples of flesh, in the heart of men. Before, God used to have to come upon people. Now, God comes into the place where men are blessed by him because he indwells himself in man. He wants to work his will through you. He wants to be manifest through you. Yes. And so, it says, and two, wait a minute, I stopped the temple. It says, even the messenger of the covenant. So Jesus Christ is the messenger of the new covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who will abide in the day of his coming? Who will stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. He is like a refiner's what? Fire and a fuller's soap. Now listen to this. And he shall refine and purify. Excuse me. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. So it is Christ that is coming as a refiner's fire. He is the refiner's fire. He is the fuller soap. He is going to sit as the purifier. He's going to sit as the purifier. And he is going to refine the sons of Levi. Who are the sons of Levi? The holy priesthood. The Bible says that now in Christ, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So Christ sits as a refiner. If you are going to be refined and all the stuff comes out of you that is not like God, if you're going to do that, then you are going to get to the place where you have to go through Christ to be washed by his blood. It is through being a Talmudim that you come to the place where you are purified by God. That is the fiery trial. So when God says that you are baptized with fire, you are baptized by the fiery trial. How do you purify gold and silver? You put it on the fire. You put it into the trial. And then when all the impurities float to the top, you sweep off the dross, you pull it out to cool, and then you open it up again and put it back on the fire. Why? So that you can get the purest form of gold, the purest form of silver. To get the purest form of soap, I know that because I make soap, you have to boil that soap. See, you're just not going to put no ingredients together and it's going to become soap. It won't be no good for your body. It has to be boiled. You have to go through the heat. You have to go through the fire. There's no way around it. So he sits as a refiner's fire, as a fuller's soap. He is the one that is doing the working in you. So when you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you think the trials that you're going through is just because the devil is attacking you. No, God is allowing the trial to come upon you. But then in 2 Corinthians 10:13, he says, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So he does not promise to not have you go through the trial. He does not promise to not have you go through the temptation. He promises that when you go through it, he'll be there with you in the trial. He'll be there with you to show you how to get out of it. Isn't it amazing that a lot of us, when we go through things, we don't like to invite God into it? as though God is so absent from it. But that is the time when you cry out. Remember, this whole thing is about one crying out in the wilderness, making the crooked places straight. God is not going to violate your freedom of moral choice and just make you love him. He has got to come to you. And once he comes to you, he wants to make his abode with you. He wants to live in you. Once he lives in you, then he wants to be able to manifest himself through you. But he cannot manifest himself through you with your sin. He must cleanse you by the regeneration of the washing of the word of God and by the blood that was already covering you at Calvary's cross, which is what got you saved in the first place. Now you need to be regenerated with the word of God so that you can be changed. There is no salvation without God's word. There is no understanding of God without God's word. There is no change in life without God's word. And we need to quit playing the game as though we can have the wonderful blessings of God by just coming in and getting caught up into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit witnesses and only tells you about God. But it is amazing when I talk to people about the Holy Spirit, when I tell them about that, what they do is they with, I'm sorry, you guys. Jeremiah just walked, so I got excited. I just watched him walk to take his first step. Anyway, what they do is the Word of God must purify you, it must cleanse you. So your life is not changing just for the sake of trial. You're not going through the fiery trial just for the sake of it. You're going through the fiery trial so that the word of God would become come to the forefront of your life so that you could have peace. Remember, Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of the boat. He was knocked out. He was asleep. And he said, we are going to the other side. The word of God is spoken. We're going to the other side. So he lay down with sleep. And then the enemy sent the storm. And he sent the rain. And Peter said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? As he woke him up in the hinder part of the boat, the back part of the boat. Carest thou not that we perish? And so he said, we're about to die, basically. And Jesus got to the front of the boat, raised his hand and said, peace be still. And the Bible says there was a great calm. Now, some things took place there. Jesus was in the hinder part of the boat, sleep. Yeah, I'm talking about you, Christian. Yeah, I'm talking to you, backslider. I'm talking to you, slacker. You love Jesus and you talk all the Christianese and you like to be a part of the chief seat and you want to make sure yourself is shown out to be the Christian that you are, but that is all performance because you don't know him because you don't know his word. But the day's going to come where you're going to have to wake him up in the back part of your life and ask him to step at the front part of your life so that he can rebuke the wind and the waves and say, peace be still. Because other than that, that is the only way you would ever get a great calm in your life. If he does not do it, calm has not come to you. Jesus said, I am your peace. I give you, I leave you peace. He said, not as the world knows peace. So the peace that he has left with you is not as the world knows. He is able to rebuke foolishness out of your life. If you let him, he is able to rebuke lies out of your life. If you let him, he is able to stop, transmogrify, change everything that is not like him in your life. But you have to let, you have to let, you have to let him. The scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You have to let it. You have to allow it. You have to want it. You have to desire it and then tell him to do it. And then he will make his abode with you. And once he makes his abode with you, then he will manifest himself through you. If you want to get rid of crack, go to Jesus and tell him, Lord, these are your hands.
Amen.
You live in me. Now, if you want these feet that belong to you and these hands to go to the crack house, I'm on my way. You need to stop this. See, then it stops being about your ability and it starts becoming about his power. And he is not going to have no one shut down his power. You may go to the crack house, but next thing you know, you won't be getting high. You start ministering the word of God and start telling people about how good Jesus is and pulling people up out of there, healing in the name of Jesus, touching lives, and lives just being slain in the spirit and changed. That's what I'm talking about. See, that's God. If you're going to go to the dope house, you got to have a purpose. And the purpose is not to get high. Not when Jesus is living in you. Amen. See, you have to change the way you think. Change the way you do. So, it is Christ that purifies us. Let's get back to Matthew chapter 3. And we are in... we just read 11, and that was to open up the door so I can show you that there are baptisms. 3, he shall baptize you. We know of the water baptism, but he shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire. All three of these are separate baptisms, and all three of these are commandments. They need to be done. Your salvation does not depend on them, only if you live. If you are on death's door and you get ready to die and you accept Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he will come in and he will take you to heaven and you're on your way out. But you never had the chance to get baptized. You never had the chance to ask the Holy Spirit in your life. You never had the chance to go through the fiery trial. See, that does not hinder you. But if you're going to live on this earth, you need those things to overcome the lies and the hypocrisies of this world.
Amen.
See? And so, 12 says, whose fan is in his hand? His fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor. So, as he is a refiner's fire, the fan that cools off is in his hand. And he's going to purge his floor. If you are a part of his family, if you're standing on the floor of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to purge them lies out of you. He's going to purge that. It is up to Christ to purge the mess up out of you. It is not up to you, and that's what the problem is. Man keeps trying to do what he needs to do as he thinks righteousness should be, and that's what the problem is. You're not letting go, and you're not letting Christ do what he has called to you. The scripture says, not only him who is able to keep you falling, not only you who is able to keep you from falling, the devil is a liar. You need to come up out of them lies and get into truth. You need to get out of your own mind, out of your own way, and get into the Lord. People been in church 20 years, or I've been in the way of the Lord for 20 years. Yeah, you need to get the hell up out of the way, because God is trying to do something. You done did that. God ain't did that. And you need to stop. You need to stop. If you're going to see true transformation, you need to stop. And you need to let go and let God. Let go and let God. Let go and let God what? Let go and let God change you. Let him touch you. Get into his word. Plant that word in you. And let the word work in you. So that it can work through you and wash you from all them thoughts of ungodliness. All them thoughts of deceit. All them lies and all that manipulation that you're doing. We go into church and we try to manipulate people. People don't do what we want, then we call them no good. That's in the church. Somebody has a gift and they don't preach the way you want them to preach, then you talking about them. Ain't that something? That's crazy. So he has his fan. His fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat onto the garner, but he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. So he's going to burn the chaff with what? Unquenchable fire. That's hell's fire. So I'm asking you a question. Are you on his purging floor? Let me explain that, because maybe people don't understand that. When you gather the wheat, you put it on what is called the threshing floor. That is the purging floor. And then you take the floor, and as the wind blows, you throw it up in the air. And the chaff separates from the wheat. And the wind blows it somewhere else. Well, Christ is taking that chaff, and he's putting it into the unquenchable fire. And then in 13, it says, coming Jesus from Galilee to Jordan. Unto John, to be baptized of him. But John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So even Jesus did not go past the steps to fulfill the righteousness of God. Well, God has ordained this system that you would get into his word and that you would go through grace and get what you need from him. Then he suffered him. And Jesus went and he was baptized. Went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is the first time God spoke from heaven to let everybody know that this was his Son. And there was many people there that heard it. John the Baptist heard it. The clouds opened up. And as the dove lighted up on him, and the voice came from heaven, God's voice saying, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." So don't make a mistake of who it is you're following. There was only one who the heavens declared that he is my Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for the fellowship. Father, we ask that you would move sovereignly by your will and touch every heart, every mind, every soul, Lord God, would be changed by the words that is coming through this podcast. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. Amen. People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all the children. People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all the children. From the bottom of the pit where the evil ones dwell, cause they fail. What some like to refer to as hell, never unveil the downscale of the segregated, isolated, degenerated, and investigated committee. Destroy the whole city one by one. Make it kill off each other with a knife or a gun. You having fun, but in the end you'll be judged by the Lord, cause he gave the 10 commandments for you to follow, but you ignored. You living in sin, abomination against the ways of good. Now reading scripture, praying to God, even though you know you should. I try to keep myself together and the Lord I seek it. Trying to treat my people right, listen to everything he's speaking. No, I'm not a teacher, a preacher trying to preach. I'm just speaking on some truth into your souls I want to reach. So learn about the man upstairs, look, he ain't a stranger, and get right with him, cause if you don't, then you're in danger. People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. Right, don't delay. Stop making rich your world anyway. Cause once you sell out to the devil, ain't no need to pray. Cause when you die, that's where you're lying. Ain't no resurrection. Burning in the lake of fire, left without no protection. Rejection is what the enemy really despises. He tells you what you wanna hear, but you know we good for lies. Rebuke the people stepping, that's your weapon and it work. It don't matter what they say, it don't matter what he learned. Watch out for your enemy, watch out for your friend. Cause trust don't get slim as we get closer to the end. So get yourself together, help your fellow brothers out. Stick together through rough weather, that's what it's all about. Your life is tearing you down and bringing sorrow. So pray tonight before you sleep, cause he might come tomorrow. People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. That's between him and you. Hit your knees and praise the one and only true Savior. That's all you're seeing behind closed doors. And yet he forgave you. And if you don't commit your life living in sin, then in hell is where you dwell for eternity. And then you're burning fire and the pain will never cease. Plus, ain't no getting out, though. You're begging again and please. There is hope. 7 seals and the trumpets blow for peace in heaven and hell on earth. That's how the story's told. Now find your Bible, open it up and get some education. It's all there, loud and clear in the book of Revelation. The bottomless pit to the angel of death. You better think about it, come upon your last breath. Repent for all your sins. Learn to change your evil ways. He coming, prepare. We live in the last days. People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming.